decades and decades ago, there were such things called circuit riders or preachers that would go from town to town riding their horses and telling people about Jesus. There's a story of one of these situations one day when a guy rode up to a man who was working in his field, and he said to the farmer, "Fine day, isn't it?" And the farmer says, "Well, it might be a fine day for you. All you do is ride around the horse and think about God." And he goes, "Here I am working in the field, sweating hard, working hard, and I don't even have a horse to ride home. I have to walk home." And so the preacher said to him, "You know, thinking about God is a lot harder than you think." He said, let me give you an example of that, or I'll prove it. He said, "If you can think about God for 1 minute, I'll give you my horse." The farmer said, "You're on." 30 seconds in, the farmer said, "Does the saddle come with the horse?" The man working in the field could not last 1 minute before he was thinking about something other than God. Let's pray. God, we know that you created our world and us within it. We can easily be distracted by both the cares and the comforts of this world. Help us to see what it means to be participants in your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 35. I'm going to read it to you. Ernie will have it up there for you as well. Matthew 13, 31 to 35. He put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it's the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in their branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, "I'll open my mouth to speak in parables. I'll proclaim what has been hidden since the foundations." Today ushers in the first Sunday of Lent. Lent means springtime. And so in these next 6 weeks, we want to prepare our hearts for the new growth that God wants to bring in each one of us. These days of Lent are about restoration and spiritual growth. Who needs seasons when our storehouses are empty and we need it to be replenished? Often people will set aside things in this 6 week period, like certain foods, desserts, chocolate, pop, vegetables. I could get on that one. Entertainment, movies, streaming, internet, Facebook, limiting our spending on needs instead of wants, and being gracious to others with the surplus. There are other lists, things that you're thinking of that relate to your personal situation. The thought behind this is that even good things can be set aside for a time period, but there's one we can never do without, and that's our Lord Jesus. But there are also things we can add, like I mentioned earlier, looking for opportunities to be generous, creating some quiet space in our lives, being intentional in reaching out to others, meditating on the scripture. I encourage you to be open and honest with Jesus and let him speak in to your life and invite him to fill you anew. In the season of Lent, our series is going to be based on the kingdom of God. Jesus comes as a babe in a manger to radically challenge how the world system is functioning. In the physical world, everything is based on the here and now, what we can taste, smell, see, touch, and hear with our senses. But the kingdom Jesus is ushering in is spiritual, yet it transforms the physical kingdom from the inside out. Jesus' disciples' mindset was that they were just passing through on this earth, but their home was in heaven. Unfortunately, we can act like we live our kingdoms here on earth, and we need to guard it with tooth and nail. If you're wondering where this incredible phrase, tooth and nail, comes from, I'm going to tell you. The descriptive imagery of a wild beast in a fierce battle, using its teeth and nails or claws as weapons. fighting to hold on all that we have with all of our might. Yet in Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Only fear God, who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell." We need to be willing to pry our fingers off the control of our lives and our possessions. And Jesus calls us to come and die to our own agendas and to experience life to the fullest, to become a follower of His. The text. In Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus used a familiar phrase over and over. The kingdom of God is like. He's trying to give us a framework or an insight through a lens what this new kingdom is going to look like. The first one we'll look at is the parable of the mustard seed. Matthew 13:31-32. And then the second one, Matthew 13:33-35, is paired with it. Often Jesus used parables or analogies that were simple stories most of his listeners would have been very familiar with. Many times there's a twist in the story, kind of with a surprise ending. These were meant to communicate spiritual truths that made those who had hungry spiritual cravings want more, and those who were fed up or full up with other things missed the message completely. Matthew 13:31, he put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and makes nests in its branches. Jesus is in an agricultural society, so it's not surprising at all. He uses imagery about planting something. Do you like planting things? Some people love making big gardens, way, way too big gardens, more than anybody could ever eat. And then someone's going to need to care for that garden and eventually harvest it. Some people say they have green thumbs, meaning that they can grow anything, while the rest of us kill plants at a high rate. This parable of the mustard seed is also mentioned in Mark 4 and Luke 13. It was the smallest seed of a known garden seeds, which when harvested turned into mustard seed oil and was also used for medication. So what would be the smallest seed that you planted in your garden last year? Matthew 17:12, Jesus says to his followers, "You don't have enough faith, I tell you the truth. If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Again, they don't need a lot of faith, just as big as a mustard seed. What is crazy is that this little seed can produce a plant that grows 6 to 12 feet high. Now that's impressive. It takes 750 mustard seeds to make 1 gram. I have a friend this last year who grew sunflower plants that are over 15 feet high. What is Jesus' point? The kingdom of God started out very tiny. If you didn't look closely, you could miss it. Something different is going on here. In out-of-the-way places, God is revealing himself to hearts that are open for him to engage and enter. But when the mustard seed has grown, it's the greatest of seeds to become a tree, so the birds of the air can make nests in its branches. The second parable. It joins with the first, Matthew 13:33-35. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast a woman took and mixed with 3 measures or batches of dough. And the result is that each parcel of dough rose. Daryl Johnson said this about the two parables. Littleness is powerful and hiddenness is transformative. I'm going to say that again. Littleness is powerful and hiddenness is transformative. God's kingdom is often unseen, but it's impacting everywhere. It's interesting, when Jesus enters our world, it is not heralded to the kings, movie stars, the rich and the famous, but to meek shepherds. And then in Luke 2, to Simeon, who the Holy Spirit revealed he would see the Messiah before he died. And then he was led to the temple where Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. I think Jesus was 8 days old. Simeon takes Jesus in his arms And he says, he is a light to reveal God to the nations. And then again in Luke 2, it's Anna, who's 84 years old, spent her time worshiping, fasting, and praying in the temple. She tells everyone that Jesus was the one they're waiting for. It says that Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him, about this little baby sent to save the world. If God wants to get his kingdom built, why is he going to the powerless, the old, and the hidden? This is the opposite way our world works, that flaunts and brags and races to the top of the charts. Jesus' early followers are just a few, 12 disciples, a handful of women. The day of Pentecost, the upper room, there might have been 80 to 100 adherents at most. Is this any way to start a revolution? To overthrow the hated Romans? No. Jesus did not come to rule with power and physical might. Rather, he came with unconditional love, encountering one person at a time. The kingdom that Jesus is bringing is very intentional, and it's open to all. Even though the Christ has come to set the captive free, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to bind the brokenhearted, people were still missing the move of God. They had personal agendas of what they thought God's kingdom should look like. The Jews were looking for a victorious king riding on a white horse who would defeat all their enemies. Yet Jesus comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey's colt in complete humility. Do we have our own agendas of what we expect God should be doing in our lives and world? Expectations that if we're following Jesus, we would not know difficulty or hardship, always having more than we need, our children and grandchildren never suffering, and everybody loves us, and we love everybody else. Doesn't this, I could say, and they lived happily ever after at this point. Continually filled with peace and harmony. The kingdom that Jesus was bringing was a foreshadowing of what things would be like in the full consummation of his kingdom. If you find yourself disappointed, get in line behind John the Baptist. As Jesus would say, John was one of the greatest people to have ever lived. And John's disappointed. Matthew 11, 4 to 6. Jesus tells John's followers, go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. And then he adds this, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Another translation says, those who do not become offended because of me. Don't become offended because God's kingdom has not done what you thought it should, what you wanted it to, what you hoped for. We're going to show you a little clip.
Mithrandir, why the halfling?
I do not know. Saruman believes that it is only a great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I found it is the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk, that keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love. Why Bilbo Baggins? Perhaps it is because I'm afraid. But it gives me courage.
I've found it's the simple things, the small things, the everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love. It is Jesus' love that holds back the power of evil in our world and in our lives. The kingdom of God is like a man sowing in a field, a woman putting yeast in dough. This kingdom Jesus would usher in would be compared to an mustard seed, not spider, and a tiny bit of yeast. These images of small and hidden would have been shocking to Jesus' audience. They expected the kingdom to be great and powerful, that all would quake in its presence. But this is not how God chose to come. Rather, he came in littleness, in out-of-the-way places like Bethlehem, with a motley group of followers. It's not the powerful who are going to determine the eternal destiny of men and women. Jesus entered our world in a time of conflict and disadvantage. Are you experiencing conflict in your life? In many ways, Jesus had very little influence on the external world with this influential pressure and power. But he helped people reposition their internal struggles and battles in their hearts, which altered their outward vision. Daryl Johnson again. The kingdom of God does not come the way other kingdoms come, like loving enemies. The little seed had a big effect. The little yeast working through the dough had a big effect. Don't you find this in your own life? God does not seem to be in a hurry as he's gently and graciously softening the hard parts of your life and soul. He incrementally changes us. And the people around us begin noticing something is different about us, something life-altering. At some point, they want to know what it is. What's the source of this change, of this transformation? There are times God's kingdom advances quickly, like on the day of Pentecost, as 3,000 were added to the church. But often the mystery of God is happening here and there. It's like trying to catch the wind. Have you ever tried to catch it? In God's world, little will become big, and invisible will become visible. We just might not see it all as it's happening. Littleness is powerful, and hiddenness is transformative. God's kingdom is often unseen, but it's impacting everywhere. Let's pray. God, your plans are so different than what we have heard and seen about our world. You intentionally seem to use what others think is foolish to confound those who think that they are wise. You humble the proud and raise the humble. Help us to trust you when it feels like not a lot is happening in the places we long for it to move the most. Your path is often not an easy path, but it's the right path. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Love, I know it.
Couple announcements, benediction. We'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. As Thea mentioned, youth is at 6:30 this week. If you want to go to home group, they're listed on our webpage. Before somebody asks me, Lewis, what are you giving up for Lent? I'm not giving chocolate up. Just want to put that out there before I'm asked. I'm giving up ginger ale, my favorite drink. So there you go. God's kingdom doesn't work like the kingdoms of this world. With power, with influence, with money. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God's kingdom is like no other. What may seem small, what may seem invisible, is incredibly transformative. Amen.
Please stand.
So love.
them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting, God so loved the world.
Have a fantastic week.